Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Oh, I was warned about her love.
Welcome back, 17 till the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, little Robert Cray bringing us back, my favorite blues man. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Please go there and use it to your advantage. I hope you'll check it out and read, listen, watch, ask, subscribe, answer the poll question. We got a lot of stuff you can do there, and we update it every day just for you. Have a great visit with our good friend, Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, chief economist for the NFIB, and a founder of an independent community bank that makes him, he was already one of my heroes, but then when he founded that bank, that really made him one of my heroes. And we're talking about this, the NFIB index of small business optimism, and which is not much of that these days, is there, Bill?
No, there's not very much optimism, that's for sure.
Not very much optimism. So let's talk, we talked about the fact that, you were going to tell us a story.
Yeah, well, I was going to explain what we mean by uncertainty. A lot of the media poo-poos the uncertainty, poo-poos it as an important determinant of behavior, but I'll just make this simple example. If you were looking at the future and you were 80% sure, you know, kind of if you had to be a betting person, if you were 80% sure that your sales were going to double over the next year, you'd start building for it. You'd take action.
Right.
You'd start
right.
hiring. You'd prepare, right? So, but that's kind of a certain event. We look at the election, and you have two events, A or B, either Obama's elected or, you know, we get the Romney group. So you have two events that could happen with a certain chance, and the events are very different. That is, we really mm-hmm. have very different outcomes here depending on who wins mm-hmm. and which way economic policy is going to go. So, and we're sitting at, basically the polls tell us it's 50-50. Well, so you're not going to, you know, if you got two kind of very disparate events and it's 50-50,
right.
It's a flip of the coin as to which one might show up.
That's right.
You don't commit any money to this. You know?
Well,
you
especially when it's not going to kill them to wait 3 months.
Exactly. You just don't do it.
Yep.
And that's
that's
uncertainty. Uncertainty is kind of at a maximum when the probabilities of these outcomes are kind of the same. And that's basically what we're looking at here.
And Bill, I started talking about uncertainty. I've got a record of this. I started talking about uncertainty in the first quarter of 2009. Before anybody else was talking about uncertainty, I named it uncertainty, and here's why. Because President Obama started talking about the card check bill, he started talking about Obamacare, and he started talking about basically the energy tax. What am I trying to say? Say it again.
Cap and trade.
Thank you. Cap and trade.
Yeah.
And he started talking about all three of those at the same time. And I was talking to small business owners, and I could see how they were reacting to that. And I started saying, this is an uncertainty because people don't know what it's going to cost them if cap and trade goes through.
Right.
They don't know if they're going to be unionized because of the card check bill. They
right.
don't know what – they know they don't want universal health care. We didn't know what Obamacare was going to look like. Bill, uncertainty has been in the minds of small business owners for 3.5 years.
Right, and there's all that change is uncertainty. You know, so certainty is, you know, tomorrow's going to be the same as today, and uncertainty is everything will change tomorrow. There's your maximum amount,
right.
And you have no idea how much or how or what it's going to do, and that's so it paralyzes you. It's very hard
right.
to do anything.
Consequently, people aren't hiring, and that's what you reported this time, isn't it?
Right, or making capital outlays. Or,
which you also reported.
Right, the net percent of owners who are going to buy new inventory is zero. Nobody's going to add to inventory because they just see the future is so uncertain that you know, they can't risk being hung out to dry, so to speak.
Well, exactly. And so that went, consequently, the employment went down an average of 2.3%, or the plans to hire in your survey went down 2.3%. The capital spending, as you say, was nil. Sales, that's an ugly one. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, well, again, you've got the you know, far more owners thinking that their sales are reporting that their sales trends are negative. That is, more they're falling quarter on quarter. So we have more with falling sales quarter on quarter than have rising sales quarter on quarter, and that squares up with all the data we've, of course, had from the government on consumer spending. The retail sales number this week was pretty good, but it was responding from a horrible June, so it was up 0.8 of a point. That's quite a strong number, but it's a strong number after a big washout in the prior few months. So it leaves us kind of nowhere. That's what happens with these numbers.
Right, exactly. And I was it was interesting to see on your inflation index that more people were planning to raise prices than were planning to reduce them. That's good news, but planning and getting it done are two different things, Bill.
Right. The net percent that got it done was did go up. It went from about 3% net, that is net of those who cut prices, to 5% who actually...
But raising your prices, Bill, doesn't mean people paid it.
That's right.
So you don't know that. They didn't tell you that.
Right. We won't know that for another month or two when they report sales. Then we'll find out.
Yeah. Because I know they need to raise prices because their costs have gone up.
Right. But historically, that's a very low number. Yeah, it's true. In every industry category, we have far more firms raising worker compensation today than we do raising prices. So they're not passing on those costs, that's for sure.
One thing you pointed out in your commentary I think is important to point out to folks is that the only reason we've got any growth at all is because of population growth.
Right, right. And we're lucky we have that versus, say, Western Europe or Japan.
Right.
That's not the case. So we have 1% more people. They do eat something, live somewhere, and drive something, and that helps GDP.
So Bill's associating the 1% growth in our economy with the population growth. And you can mirror that. You can compare that to the areas that Europe and Japan who aren't growing population. Their economies are flat. It's 10 till right back after these messages. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.